It is good to see you all here tonight, and we welcome you to our last Lord's Day service of this year. We're thankful that you've come to join us. It's a special night of testimony and of praise, and that's a good thing to be able to look back and to give thanks to the Lord for His kind hand upon us over the many hours and days of this year. We're going to start our service with a well-known hymn for us, number 2 in your book, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. We'll stand to sing, and then after we finish this, Dr. McClellan's going to come and lead us in our opening prayer. Let's worship the Lord with this song.
Tonight,
at the end of another year,
we thank thee, O God, that we can say, as thy word tells us,
that thou hast crowned the year with thy goodness.
And we thank, Lord, of how thou hast blessed us down through the weeks and months of this present year.
And we thank thee, O God, that thou hast opened thy hand of bounty upon us.
Thou hast blessed us with physical needs and especially with spiritual needs.
And so, Lord, we would count our blessings tonight.
And we know, Lord, we are surprised because there are literally millions more.
Because, Lord, we're going home to glory eventually.
And there we will be in the presence of the Lord forevermore.
Away from all sin, all the iniquity and all the sorrows of this present world.
Oh God, what a day that will be.
When we're ushered into the presence of Christ the King.
We ask, Your Father, that no soul here tonight
will be missing on that great day.
Pray, Our Father, that thou would save them by thy grace.
We ask, O Lord, now to bless us as we meet together. O God, we pray that thou would bless thy two brethren as they would testify. We thank thee, O God, for thy saving grace in their lives. Give them liberty, give them clarity of thought and speech. And Lord, prepare our hearts to be encouraged as we listen to the testimonies of brothers in the Lord. And Father, remember thy servant. We pray that thou put thy healing touch upon him, and grant our Father that tonight he might know the divine anointing of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, our Father, for those who can't be here. We think of the sick and the suffering. We pray that thou would bless them in the hour of their need. And Father, we pray for all of our people, that thou would give them traveling mercies during this inclement weather, and grant, O God, that thy hand would be upon us for good. O God, tonight we pray that thou would fill our hearts with joy in the Lord. O God, there is joy in serving Jesus. And Lord, the old devil would love to steal away the joy and the song. We ask thee, our Father, that thou would defeat him by the mighty power of our blessed Lord and Savior. Be with us now, we pray, and do us good, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, a service like this tonight is one that has to do with giving of thanks, and the chorus that we're going to sing right now is really that testimony. So I'm going to ask the instruments to play through it once, and you'll see it repeats. There's three choruses, and it's repeating twice each one, and then it just finishes off with the little word, give thanks. So watch the words, please. Those words are very simple.
And yet they are very good.
And a chorus that would stick in your mind and your heart as you go through your day.
And you acknowledge and thank God for the blessings he heaps upon us.
The greatest of all.
And we are worthy of none of them.
But he has saved our soul.
He has washed away our sin.
He has given us a home and glory.
And we know it is well with our soul.
We're going to sing another song.
It's a Psalm 103.
If you're using our book, the Psalms are at the back.
Psalm 103 will stand as we sing this psalm.
Turn with me now to Psalm 1. Psalm 1.
What an opening this is to the entire song of the Old Testament.
And it really sets before us two pathways.
That are taken by all men in every culture, in every age.
It is the path of the just and the path of the ungodly.
Let's read.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts as we have read tonight. Very happy that you're here this evening, and we want to give you a very warm word of welcome.
today in our service this morning. Talu was with us. I don't think you're here tonight. Talu was hoping to come, but I don't think she made it back tonight. You'll remember she's a teacher, and she went to a northern part of Quebec to teach there for a year at least on a reserve. And so she was able to come back and visit. And also Shay, her sister, is teaching in Macau over just an island off Hong Kong. And she's under a 2-year contract at the moment there. And she was here only for a week, but unfortunately didn't overlap on a Lord's Day. So we miss seeing her. But do remember these ones in prayer. And it's good to see Liz with us tonight in the service. We're very happy, Liz, that you're here. You're very welcome. And any others, I might not have your name, but you're very welcome in our Savior's precious name. Let me encourage you to follow your bulletin for a moment, and let me just share with you some things that will be happening in the future. Right after tonight's service, we'll be having fellowship downstairs, and we hope you'll be able to come and stay with us for that. We hope that there would have been an outreach this afternoon, but because of the weather, it had to be postponed. So Brother Kingsley will reschedule that for another time. There are no services in the church here in this week, but we do want to remind you that as we commence the first Lord's Day of the new year, next Lord's Day we'll be meeting around the Lord's table for communion following the service, and I want to bring you a challenge of a motto text for this incoming year, a verse of scripture which the Lord has placed upon my heart for all of us as a congregation, and I pray it will be a blessing to you. And then don't forget to remember in prayer the ones who are on our list. And this is the final day for our Christmas card contributions. And I would encourage you to make sure, if you want to make a contribution toward that for our Mexico City work, that you'll do that by the end of today. I want to thank the congregation for everyone who was involved in our outreach in the community in distributing the Gospels of Luke and of Acts. We have about 4 maps remaining, but we do not have any more of the flyers left. And I want to just say a word of thanks to all of you who have been helping and working with this and distributing these. And we often ask you that we would pray now that God would water the seed that has been sown with prayer, and it would bring forth a great harvest among the people. That is an important thing for us to follow up. And if you have any of the packages left over, maybe in your car that you had extras and you didn't get them back, if you could do that, and then we'll make sure that we get as many distributed as we possibly can. I believe those are all the announcements we have at this time. And we're thankful tonight to have the opportunity of hearing from 2 testimonies. And the first one will be from Reverend Chris Kim. I've asked our brother if he would come and share with us a word of testimony of what the Lord has done in his life. And so, brother, would you please come now? We've enjoyed your fellowship in the house of God, and we pray the Lord will bless your testimony tonight.
We often see packed meals through the sermon audio. Last week, Pat sent a letter. Hello. A few weeks ago, I turned into the third evening service and I saw you both. You never know who's watching. Ha ha. There have been weekly testimonies of retired pastors at Hebron, a Free Presbyterian Church in Northern Ireland, where Pat is attending. One retired pastor brought out his grandchildren, and he testified. But the retired pastor played the accordion and testified in praise. Another retired pastor said, It was not so easy to testify as a pastor who was a lifelong preacher. Of course, preaching and the testimony are difficult for me because of the English language. However, I'm more used to preaching than giving a testimony. At the request of our pastor, Dr. Saunders, I stand here obediently. Psalm 119:105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. This is my family text. Today I will introduce two men who strongly influenced my life of faith rather than bearing my testimony. I was born into an unbelieving family in 1949 and turned a young man of 70 years in 2019. My father was the son of a wealthy family. He, after marrying my mother, escaped the communist-dominated North and came to South Korea seeking freedom. Unfortunately, less than a year after they settled in South Korea, under the support of the Soviet Union, the communist government of the North invaded South Korea at the dawn of June 25, 1950. I was about 8 months old. Fortunately, the life of our family was not lost during the war. But my parents, like others, lost all their property. After the war, my father was able to quickly revive his family's livelihood. Thus, my childhood family could live materially well without any difficulties. Unfortunately, my father suddenly became ill, and our family decided to move to the countryside. However, my parents lost all their properties while living in the country. Fortunately, my father's health was restored. The total number of family members was 7. My parents worked diligently to prevent their children from starving. After the war, the living standards of South Korea were among the poorest in the world. As living became more difficult economically, our family had to move to the place where the poorest people in Korea lived. My parents lived hard economically. They were very worried that they would starve their children. They worked late at night and on Sundays. Their only concern was not to starve their children. My mother knew what education was from a young age. All of my mother's relatives received college education. She also wanted to be educated. But at that time, women were not able to get education in Korean society. My mother was worried about her children's education. My family lived in crime-prone area. My parents worried that their children would venture down the road of a crime. My mother heard a bell every Sunday morning. It was a church bell. My mother was not a Christian, but she knew of the church since childhood. My mother sent her children to church. At the time, I was a freshman in middle school. My mother had her children attend the church. The church was located in the poor neighborhood, a crime area. My mother had me attend a Christian school run by this church. I attended the Lord's Day School. My Lord's Day School teacher was a college student majoring in mechanical engineering at university. He was working part-time with the U.S. military. He was fluent in English. Our class on Lord's Day School was a total of two students. The teacher taught us the Bible on Lord's Day mornings and evenings. And he met us two or three times on weekdays, brought us delicious sweet, and taught us the Bible. He sometimes taught us English from the English Bible. He taught us that we are sinners. He taught us to believe in Jesus Christ. I, a freshman in middle school, could not understand such teachings. The teacher met with us, prayed for us, and taught us the Word of God. I knew later that he prayed daily for my soul. It took me a long time to realize that I was a sinner and accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I will never forget the joy of walking through the church garden on Saturday, springtime, the second year of high school. I told my father to come to church, and my father began to attend worship service. Later, my father became an elder. The pastor's love was great that our family became Christians. As I grew up, I attended every meeting in the church, and I was faithful to everything in the church, including every Saturday cleaning. In my sincerity, the pastor regarded me as his own son. He had a prominent influence on me becoming a Christian. My pastor did not baptize me, even though I received Jesus Christ. He put a great importance on marriage. Our pastor did not baptize unless we married a Christian. I was baptized 2 weeks before the wedding, since I decided to marry Hannah. And he presided over our wedding service. My pastor advised me to study hard at school. He told me that he became a pastor without much education. One day he told me, "You study hard and become a pastor." He entrusted me with a Lord's Day School and allowed me to preach the Word of God. Since receiving Christ, I have read the Bible diligently. In order to study the Bible deeply, I enrolled in the seminary run by the denomination and study the Bible. But I never thought of becoming a pastor. financially, our family situation was too hard that we had to solve our livelihood first. Despite the financial difficulties, my parents made me go to college. I studied mechanical engineering at university. I served as a Korean Army officer for 2 years and six months. After being discharged from the military, I got married and I became an ordinary mechanical engineer. We enjoyed material abundance with the envy of our neighbors. I also enjoyed considerable well treatment in the company. About 5 years before our family immigrated to Canada, these were our most materially affluent years. My family immigrated to Canada in 1981 at the request of my mother. Canadian immigration gave me a great expectations. I thought I would live a happier life in a new world. Contrary to my considerable expectations, cultural conflicts and the language barriers forced me into despair. I was very disappointed and deeply frustrated. I was so lost on how to lead and provide for my family. I thought about going back to my home country. But gracious God came to me and made a difference in my life. And so far, I live by the grace of God. I cannot forget my Lord's Day school teacher, who first influenced my life. He became an ordained minister of our denomination, after which he was sent to Moscow, Russia, as a denomination missionary, serving for about 40 years, and he retired several years ago. My pastor taught me the different way Christians think. He taught me to think that my home is far from the church. I have never thought that church is far. My home is far or far away. So I want to move near the church because my home is far from the church. I was well trained by the pastor as to what the basic life of a Christian is. He taught me about Bible readings, praying, tithing, keeping Holy Sabbath day, and the life of worship. As a saved Christian, I tried to be faithful to his teachings. He was very humble. He did not leave anything when he went to the Lord's arms except his example of life. He faithfully taught me the Word of God. And he set an example of living his own life of obedience to the Word of God. I am grateful for the devotion and the love of the American, British, Canadian, and Australian missionaries who brought the gospel of Christ to our country 120 years ago. A couple of years ago, Hannah and I found Reverend missionary Duncan McRae's graveyard in Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia. who preached the gospel to our founding pastor in Korea. As a result of the service and the devotion of these Western missionaries, about 77,000 churches were established in South Korea. Currently, Korean churches send 26,677 missionaries to 170 countries. God loved our country and sent many Western missionaries to preach the gospel to our country. I thank you, God, for His love and grace, who made me an unworthy sinner into a Christian. And I give Him all the highest glory. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Kim, for sharing with us tonight that testimony. We have appreciated so much the fellowship of our brother and his dear wife, Hannah, and their faithfulness to God's work here. And many of us have no idea what it would be like to live through those circumstances of those early years. And yet, God sent men and women as missionaries to that far-off land. And the gospel was taken, and it was well received in that country. The Lord did a great work, and we appreciate tonight that He has called our brother to be a servant of His. We were going to be having a special item of music tonight. Mrs. McClellan was going to be singing for us, but she's a little bit under the weather. And so next Lord's Day morning, God willing, she will sing for us a hymn that she has sung before, but it is a very meaningful one to her. And so we'll wait until next Lord's Day morning for that. At this time, we're going to take up the offering now for God's work. And we'll sing hymn number 5. And if you have not yet picked up your offering envelopes, they're on the table at the back in the foyer. And if you would like to get those, if you don't have any yet, you could speak to our brother George and he'll be sure to get you a set of offering envelopes for the entire year. Remain seated, please, while we sing this one. Now thank we all our God. Brother Delina is going to come now and share with us tonight how the Lord has worked in his life.
We have been blessed by their family as they have come with us since they moved to the land of Canada.
And I'll let him come and share his story now.
Brother, you please come.
I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Eric Delina, and on behalf of my family, I want to greet all of you a blessed new year. It is a privilege that I could give my testimony of the goodness of the Lord, of what He has done in and through us as a family. And I would like to begin my testimony by reading Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 to 5. It says here, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And David continued, saying, Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Truly, God's blessings are innumerable, and I will start accounting them as much as I can. Indeed, it is a great blessing that I come to know the Lord. When I was young, my journey walking in the goodness of the Lord began when the Lord opens a door to start a ministry in my hometown when I was still 9 years of age. By then, most of my siblings and my mother was already saved. And since the day that I've heard about the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, I was fascinated by the good preaching and teaching of the Word. I attended almost every Bible study. Sometimes we go up to the mountains and there was a Bible study, and if I'm available, if I can, I will go. I think at that time I'm the only child who attends a Bible study. But I never missed any of the Sunday school. But even then, I was not saved. But I wasn't saved till I was 10 when my older sister shared the gospel to me. She explains how sinful I was, and in fact, all men are. And she expounded Romans 3:23 to me. And as she opens the scriptures and showed me that we are all destined to hell, and there's no two way about it. Well, I always play with fire. I know when he explains to me, I know how painful it may be, because a little fire that burns my hand is very, very painful. And then she said, man is unable to save himself, no matter how good and religious he may be. Well, it puts in my mind, I attended all the Sunday school, I attended all the church services, and still, he said that no matter how good and religious a person can be, he cannot be saved. That attending any of the church services and Bible studies are not the way to heaven. But there is only one way. And there is no other way. That salvation is only through Christ. And that He is the only way that the Lord has given for us to escape from hell. And that day I really understood that my longing to, you know, to attend the church services, as I was fascinated with the preaching of the word, it will not bring me to heaven. That day I opened my heart to the Lord when I was 10, and I received Him. And it was further explained during the camp when a pastor talked to me and explained further what are the blessings of being a Christian. What a blessed thought that the Lord did not leave us hopeless, and that by His own grace and mercy, He has given us the way to heaven. And as time goes by, I've seen many Christians who do not adhere or do not listen to the Lord's clear admonitions of choosing a lifetime partner. You, who once upon a time that leads us and teaching us when we were kids, and now could not even attend any church services because they married to the wrong people. It is so sad that one missionary who was very, very active and bringing many to the Lord, but she married the wrong person. And even until now, she cannot even attend church services because her husband said, your Bible teach that you, the wife, submit to your husbands. It is so sad. But for me, I listened to the Lord's specific admonition found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. That says, Apostle Paul says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Many of them argues that it is not an admonition for marriage. Well, I've heard these arguments by those who no longer found in the church because they succumb to these arguments. If we are not allowed to have fellowship with them, how much more a lifetime partner? Someone says, you are a child of God and you are more married to a child of Satan. Therefore, your stepfather is Satan himself. Well, for me, I thank God that I waited upon the Lord. And I'd rather obey His commandments rather than choosing my own. I prayed to the Lord earnestly that He will give me a bride of His own choosing. And He answered my earnest prayer. Rowena was brought by the Lord to my home church. Well, there are many churches in my island. But the Lord brought her to my home church. Because I asked the Lord that if it is your will, then bring my spouse to be in my church. And I waited. And truly, the Lord has brought her to me. And when we were married, we take the vow, and the marriage theme was taken from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, saying, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And truly, I thank God that day that I said and I pledged my vow to her and she to me in the presence of the Lord. Because our marriage, as well as many marriages in the Christian life, is not a marriage that is a bed of roses, as many of us have known. There are many ups and downs and many painful experiences which are beyond our capacity to mend. But the Lord always reminds us that it is He who brought us together. That's the reason why it is better to wait upon the Lord, to wait upon Him to give you the lifetime partner, rather than running and choosing what seems to be the most beautiful and most suitable for us. And I thank God for that, because so many, many countless times that our marriage should have been broken. But because the Lord is with us, and He reminded us, for He who began a good work in us will be able to perform. And yes, He was able to perform to mend our marriage. And He keeps us, the Lord keeps doing things that are amazing. And the Bible also says, you know, And the Bible also says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman maketh but in vain. Psalms 127 verse 1. Truly, if the Lord did not build our house, we could have been destroyed. And all I can say, that without the Lord, our family had been disintegrated. Because so many families has been broken, even Christians. And it was our marriage has been tested further when our youngest son was born. You know, when my wife, during the first trimester, when she was pregnant with Asriel, the doctor informed us that the baby must be aborted because of the multiple, because they found some problems and issues with him inside Rowena's womb. And he told us so many, many, many scary things when this child will be born. And if you are not a believer, you may agree to his biddings. And that's the reason why even Christians themselves, they give in to abort babies. Thank God. Once again, I thank God that my wife have the same faith as mine. And without any hesitation, right away, right there, we told the doctor, no way, we're not going to abort the baby. Yes, it may be true that there will be many, many complications when he will be born. Yes, it may be very, very difficult for us. There are so many unforeseen things. And what about our three kids? They will also suffer. But with the same faith, and we know that Philippians 1:6, God says, he will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as a family, we prayed and entrust everything to God, knowing that it is he who allows these things. Truly, baby was the life was designed by God. It is not that it just happened. God is the one who made it. And we are just privileged. We are thankful to the Lord that he had given us the privilege to take care of his wonderful creation. Truly, all I can say that we are privileged and we are just thankful. We are just caretakers of our children. They don't belong to us. They belong to God. Because if we take it ownership for ourselves, then it is wrong. We are just caretakers. And as caretakers, we have to take care of God's heritage. And who are we to decide whether to abort the baby or to let him live? We are not in authority. Life belongs to God. And true enough, when Asriel was born, there are so many complications. In fact, an hour after he was delivered, three major surgery was scheduled for the next 6 months. When I was told, I said, Lord, it's really very difficult. Three major surgeries were scheduled, and the baby was just born he was just delivered for 2 hours. Anyway, and there are so many complications, but most of it, he has two large holes in his heart, aside from other complications, the two large holes. And that's why we were wondering whether our son may survive. We really do not know. And I told my wife, well, let us be prepared to lose him. It is our great privilege to take care of him even for a day. At least the Lord has given us a chance to see and take care of him. But the worst thing that we have is that, for me, I don't have the finances to pay for all the surgeries. And for one surgery, the doctor told me, I am about to collapse. I don't have that money. I don't have the resources. Anyway, we trust in the Lord. And Psalms 46 verse 1 and 2 says, God is our refuge, a strength, refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And as I pondered these things, I saw that the mountains are not going to be thrown into the midst of the sea in my life. And so we prayed and trusted in the Lord. And the Lord hears our cries and the cry of the baby, for He had provided for him. He was given a piece of paper. We were given a piece of paper. And this piece of paper is very powerful, because it allows him to go in and out of the hospital with all the surgeries that is required of him. It is amazing. It is amazing how God did provide for the boy. And this piece of paper, whenever we go to the hospital, when they see it, it's like, you know, a blank check that you show. And all the surgeries that was done in the first 2 years of his life. And I think 70% of his life for the first 2 years was spent in the hospital. I seldom, and in those 2 years, I pity all my three kids, because I always stayed in the hospital. So much so that sometimes others think that I was a doctor, because sometimes I help to take care of the other patients. Anyway, that is God's grace for us. And if I look back, with only a few hours of sleep for 2 years, I think my maximum hours of sleep is about 4 hours every day, because Rowena has an asthma. She cannot be too tired, else I have two persons to take care of. So I have to free her off. So everything is on me. And thank God that the Lord sustains me. It's amazing. And I look back, I do not know how did I go through. Even Brian, once upon a time, helped us, because they have seen our difficulty. Truly, the Lord is our source of help. All I can say is that we are truly nothing. I don't have the capacity to provide for Israel, but the Lord has provided for him everything. Our Israel is a picture of our family too, of whom the Lord had taken care of. I and my wife are also very thankful for providing us children who are very supportive and have gone through all the difficulties without any complaints, and had been very faithful unto the Lord. They'd rather miss the school activities rather than miss any church activities. The only time they miss the church activities is when they are sick. But amazingly, you know, in those 2 years, none of my children or my wife was ill. It is the Lord's doing. How wonderful it is to have a godly spouse and godly children who fear the Lord. It is a gift that the Lord has given me, because I waited upon Him to provide a wife for me. Truly. Singapore had become the home of my children. They know no other nation other than Singapore. Even in my homeland, they are strangers to Philippines. And the Lord had done many, many wonderful things in and through us in Singapore. But we know that the Lord is leading us to leave Singapore. The reason for that is that we are asking the Lord for direction. And we prayed for several years, and we applied for our citizenship in Singapore. And our application was rejected. And our prayer is a direction from the Lord. If we will stay in Singapore, then what keeps us from becoming a citizen? And we have few friends that we invited. They become citizens. And we already bought a property in Singapore. We have a house there, and yet they still rejected our application, because we know that the Lord doesn't want us to stay in Singapore. And so over the years we prayed, and we prayed as a family, because we know already that Singapore is not It's not a place for us to stay for long. And it's also the time that the Philippine ministry in the church where we are attending are thinking of moving out of Singapore because of the strict policy of the country. The family are divided. You know, it is so sad that husband is there working in Singapore and yet his family is back in the Philippines. And as Christians, we know that it is not the Lord's design for the family to be separated. It is very, very painful to our hearts that a father cannot even take care of the children. Well, I am privileged, my children is with me. But how about my boyfriends? And we are talking about it. And we prayed for guidance of the Lord. And the Lord did us to think about Canada. So all our brethren, or majority of our brethren, are thinking of coming to Canada. Well, I am out of the group because for me, I'm going to go back to Philippines. My heart is set to go to Philippines. In fact, for the past 2 years, the Lord has provided a free plane ticket for me, so that it's just like I'm riding a bus from here to Brampton. It's a free ride. The Lord has provided me a plane ticket that I can go back to Philippines from Singapore. So in the morning, in the evening of Friday, I fly to Singapore. In the morning of Saturday, I arrive. We will have Bible study in the evening because I cannot miss the church on Sunday. Evening of Saturday, I fly back to Singapore. Sunday morning, I arrive in Singapore. Well, it's a very tiresome, but for almost 2 years, I was doing that and having Bible study in two places, in two islands, one in the capital and the other is in my hometown. And they were talking about it, but God had opened a chance for me to apply through uneventful events. I didn't know why did I apply in the first place, but our preacher keep on pestering me to apply. Our Filipino preacher keep on telling me to apply. And yet I said, okay, I just want to prove to you that the Lord don't want me to go to Canada. The Lord wants me to go back to Philippines. So we are very confident that my application will be rejected. And even the agent told me, sir, you have a 60-40 chance. I said, what is that? 60% percent chances of rejection, even much higher. And he said, you need to comply this and this and this and this so that we can boost up your chance to come to Canada. And I said, I don't have. I cannot give if I really don't have it. What you are requiring of me, I don't have. Please, just launch the application. And they said that, you know, you need to sign a waiver so that I cannot sue them if my application is rejected. And I told them to the shock. Well, I think it's good for you to apply because I want my application to be rejected. I said, that's a very unusual application because you apply for approval, not for rejection. But for me, it is to prove to the preacher that I'm not for Canada. But what happened, a few months later, our preacher's visa application was rejected. So he went back to Philippines, in the central Philippines. And right now he's there with his family. He's now helping the two churches as well as the translation project of the Bible in his hometown. He was attached with so he's working with that translation. But for me, after that, on August 2018, to my shock, my visa was approved. And so, I think it is really the Lord's hand leading me here. And the Lord really has done great and marvelous things. And He brought my family with me. And I thank God for that. And in Philippians, and the Lord reminded me of Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And this is our marriage theme. And the Lord keep on reminding me that He is our guide, and He will fulfill what He was planning in my life and the life of my family. And this is the same verse that the Lord has given me at the end of my missionary journey before I entered my university. Because when I was in the secondary, there was a call for a missionary work in one island, and nobody wants to go there because it is the island where the people are practicing witchcraft, real witchcraft. And they practice voodoo and many other things. And in fact, there I've seen so many, many unexplained things when I was there. And truly, satanic activities are very, very strong in that island. And that island is the center of, you know, every Lord's, every Black Friday. Witches from all over the country gather there to whatever they perform. You know, that's the center, that's the island where really people are practicing all this. And in fact, one of the Filipino member of the church, supposedly becoming a member of the Filipino ministry in Singapore, their daughter was demon possessed because the grandfather is a witch, and she was really literally a demon possessed. My children had witnessed the change of the voice, change of tone, and you can see this is not the person, this is not the lady that we once know. Well, thank God, and we rejoice in the Lord, and so thankful that He brought us to Toronto Free Presbyterian Church. We feel at home, and You did not leave us alone to be lonely. And we're so thankful that we found a place, a church where we're in a good fellowship has been given and extended to us. And my children, because they are so used with the fellowship in Singapore, and I thank God that they found a good fellowship here. And we pray, our prayer is that we will become a blessing even to the church, even to the youth, and as a church, that's our prayer. Finally, I would like to say, as David has declared in Psalm 40, verse 5, many, O Lord, my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to us ward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Truly, there are many, many things that the Lord has done. One thing I can show you is the life of Asriel. I think Rowena composed a good video, just a 1-minute video of Asriel. And this is the Lord's goodness and kindness to us. And we are just privileged to have Him. And it's our joy, our thankfulness to God that the Lord has brought this young boy to us. We never thought that he would survive until now, but now he's already 13 years old. In those days, especially the first 2 years, I thought, Lord, I know that if You take him, it is our privilege. But if You let him live, You'll provide for him. You'll take care of him. Truly, it is a wonderful thing. Hi, Jonathan. So this is just a short clip. This is Aswell when he was born. This is his first day. They put already the monitor on his heart. Then after his first surgery, he was in the ICU. Astrid when he was wanted to sing, trust and obey. Trying to play the guitar. Ashrael, which is happy, in the afternoon. That's why he wanted to have his own copy of the bulletin every Sunday. That's a very short. By the way, the name Ashrael, we prayed and asked the Lord what we shall call him. And the meaning of Ashrael is my God, is my help. And truly, I can testify that God is the help
of this boy.
And we are just recipients of it.
I give back all the glory and honor unto the Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
Brother, thank you for sharing with us tonight and how God has worked in your own life and in your family. And we have certainly known and felt the love of Ashrael. That's all right, brother. You can just leave it on the thing. That's fine. Let's don't need it now. And what a rejoicing there is to see God's hand and the testimony of His grace in supplying the need for every hour. Every moment. Those are very special things, and we acknowledge that before the Lord. Our time is gone from us now tonight, and the word that I was hoping to bring to you, we will put that off until next Lord's Day evening in God's will and purpose. And it will fit in well with the theme of tonight, and so we will keep that same spirit of thanksgiving, the same spirit of rejoicing. And hearing these testimonies tonight from Reverend Kim, and also from Brother Eric, and how God has worked. And maybe you're here tonight or you're watching online and you don't know the Lord yet. You haven't come to trust Him. Don't let this year go into eternity before you call upon the Savior. You don't know what a day will bring forth. You don't know, friend, how much more time you have. But tonight and now is the accepted time. Because the Lord says, today is the day of salvation. And for that we can rejoice. We're in the day of gospel grace. And that means that today is the day for you. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Our Lord, we lift our hearts tonight in gratefulness and thanksgiving and praise. For what we have heard and what we have seen and the abundant evidence of your great kindness to us. Lord, we are not worthy of the least of your mercies, but you have blessed us with a congregation of people who know and love the Lord. And I pray that we will strengthen each other
that we will pray for one another, that, Lord, you would bind us all very close in the bond of unity in Christ, and so that we would be a faithful, healthy, honorable New Testament church, that we would follow your way and your path. It may be, Lord, that someone here tonight has grown a bit cold in heart or soul. Lord, minister to everyone. Don't let anyone leave this place without making peace with God, whether it is in salvation or restoration to him. We're thankful, Lord, that you are married to the backslider, and that there is restoration and promise that the years that the locusts have eaten will be restored. And that's a great hope and a great promise for us all. So, Lord, receive our thanks for the food that's been provided downstairs and the fellowship that will be enjoyed, and take us to our homes in safety. And as the days of this week go in to mark the close of this year, that we will all have cause and reason for double rejoicing in all that our God has done for us. Hear our prayers now. Part us in thy fear, and with thy rich blessing we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.